Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is the symbol of our Christian faith, the summary of what we believe and the reason for why we believe it. The cross is the central point of history. Everything before it pointed to the cross, and everything after it points back to the cross. The cross stands as the symbol of our faith. But what does the cross stand for? Let's look to the book of Ephesians tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 through 17, as we begin. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, we come before you this Good Friday in reverent fear, in respectful silence, in deep gratitude. Thank you for the cross. Help us tonight to learn more about this cross and better appreciate and better realize what you did for us. This is your word, God. Sanctify us in its truth. In your name we pray. Amen. When we look at the cross, we see that it stands for three things. First of all, we see that the cross stands for our guilt. Verses 13 and 14 here speak of our reality before we were saved. It says that we were far off, and there was a dividing wall of hostility between us and God. The cross stands for our guilt, both generally as well as individually. Generally, look around. Things are not as they are supposed to be. Things are not the way God created them to be. In Genesis 1, God created the world, and he created it perfectly. Everything was perfect. There was no sickness, no death, no mourning. Nobody was vengeful. Nobody was selfish. Nobody was judgmental or greedy. It's a far cry from what we see around us today, isn't it? Things are not as they should be. We have hundreds of daily reminders that things are not as they should be. Young lives are ended every day by senseless violence. Families are broken by separation and divorce. Aunts and uncles and grandparents are lost too soon to disease and cancer. We know these things are wrong. Things are not as they should be, and it's our fault. There's no one to point the finger at except ourselves. The cross stands for our guilt, generally, but also and especially individually. There's no sugarcoating this truth. That there's no politically correct way of saying this. We see brokenness all around us in the world we live in, and read about, we read in Scripture about this brokenness that Christ endured for us. The accusations, the lies, the mocking, the torture, the excruciating execution. It was brutal. It was bloody, and we are responsible. We are to blame. Romans 3 says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are to blame for this broken world. And we are to blame for Jesus dying on that cross. All of us are guilty. The cross stands for our guilt. There are some people who would doubt the severity of sin. But the Bible is very clear. The wages of sin, the result of sin, is death. Each crime you've committed against God, from a sin as small as envy to its greatest sin as murder, each crime you've committed against God carries a sentence of eternal and forever death. We all are poor, miserable sinners, and we are to blame for this broken world, and we are to blame for our broken relationship with God. Here in Ephesians 2, it says that we were once far off. And that isn't God's fault. That's our fault. The cross stands for our guilt. Second, though, the cross stands for our peace. Look back at verse 14 of Ephesians 2. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. The cross stands for our peace. For those of us who believe in Jesus tonight, we are no longer far off. There isn't a dividing wall anymore. We have peace with God. And this peace was accomplished on the cross. The cross is one of the most recognizable and common symbols in the entire world. Everyone knows that a cross represents Christianity. But do they really know what happened on that cross? The cross is not just a trendy fashion style or a popular decoration choice. The cross is not PG-13. The cross was a bloody and dirty cross where a cruel and violent execution took place. An execution that you deserved. If it were you hanging on that cross, it would be an entirely just execution. If it were you or me with our arms stretched out and nails pounded through the nerve endings in our wrists, it would be well deserved. It would be justice. Our sin separates us from God and causes division and conflict. We deserve death because of our sins. And we deserve a gruesome death on the cross. But Jesus took our place and won our peace. He's the one who stood up in the heavenly courtroom and said to God the Father, Judge, I know this person is guilty. I know all the things this person has done. I know that they deserve severe punishment. But I volunteer to take their place. Let them go free. The cross stands for our peace because a transaction took place there. A deal went down at the cross between Jesus, the innocent, and you, the guilty. You weren't born yet, but you were involved in this transaction. Theologians call it the great exchange. Jesus took from you that mile-high stack of sin you've been accumulating. Every sinful thought, word, and action that you have ever had and ever will have, Jesus took those. And he took the due punishment for those crimes. Jesus took all of that garbage, all of that filth, and in exchange, he gives to you his righteousness, his perfection. His white robe of perfect obedience is draped over our undeserving shoulders. This wasn't a very fair deal, was it? But it's our deal. And it happened at the cross. When God looks at us. In his heavenly courtroom, he doesn't see a sinner deserving judgment anymore. He sees a son or a daughter whom he loves. We have peace with God because of the cross. And finally tonight, the third thing the cross stands for is our hope. The cross stands tonight to remind us of our guilt. It stands to remind us of our peace, and also to remind us of our hope. Good Friday is a somber day. When we think about Jesus dying on that cross, we should not take it lightly. It was a sad day when the Creator of the world gave up his life, when the ever-loving heart of Jesus stopped beating. Good Friday is a somber day, but it is also a good day. Because of the cross, we can have hope. Hope that our God is a promise-keeping God, a faithful God. Because of the cross, we have proof of God's faithfulness in the past, which gives us hope of his faithfulness to come. He's been faithful in the past, and he'll be faithful to the end. Look back at Ephesians 2. Jump down to verse 19. Talking about Jesus and what he did on the cross. Because of the sacrifice of Christ on your behalf. Verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. If you repent of your sins and believe in the forgiveness of Jesus, the cross means that you are a child of God and a citizen of the household of God. The cross stands for your hope. So have hope, brothers and sisters. Have hope that your life is safely hidden away in the protective and powerful hands of Jesus. You can have hope that your sins are forgiven and that you will not receive the punishment you deserve. You can have hope that you are a loved child of God, come what may. Though the mountains may fall and the hills be removed, God's steadfast love for you shall not depart from you, and his covenant of peace with you shall not be removed. Whatever may happen in the world tonight or tomorrow or the next day, whatever bad things may come our way, the cross stands for our hope. Dear God, we look to the cross tonight as we remember Good Friday. We are reminded of our own sin and our own overwhelming need for a Savior. And you, Jesus, are that Savior. Please work in our hearts to convict us of sin. Work repentance and faith in our hearts and turn us to you for forgiveness and salvation. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's confess our faith together as a congregation this evening using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you turn your bulletin to the back page there, let's responsibly read these verses from Isaiah, a prophecy about the upcoming Christ who came to live and die for you. Let's read responsibly. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted.
But he was pierced for our transgressions.
He was crushed for our iniquities.
Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace.
And with his wounds we are healed.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way.
And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Amen. Before our closing hymn this evening, I printed the text of the hymn, A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth. As I read this to close our evening together, think about Christ and his path to the cross and what he endured because he loves you. A lamb goes uncomplaining forth, the guilt of sinners bearing, and laden with the sins of earth, none else the burden sharing. Goes patient on, grows weak and faint, to slaughter led without complaint, that spotless life to offer. He bears the stripes, the wounds, the lies, the mockery, and yet replies, all this I gladly suffer. This Lamb is Christ, the soul's great friend, the Lamb of God, our Savior, whom God the Father chose to send to gain for us his favor. Go forth, my son, the father said, and free my children from their dread of guilt and condemnation. The wrath and stripes are hard to bear, but by your passion they will share the fruit of your salvation. Yes, Father, yes, most willingly I'll bear what you command me. My will conforms to your decree. I'll do what you have asked me. O wondrous love, what have you done? The Father offers up his Son, desiring our salvation. O love, how strong you are to save. You lay the one into the grave who built the earth's foundation. Lord, when your glory I shall see and taste your kingdom's pleasure, your blood my royal robe shall be, my joy beyond all measure. When I appear before your throne, your righteousness shall be my crown. With these I need not hide me. And there in garments richly wrought, as your own bride shall we be brought, to stand in joy beside you. Amen.